Welcome back to a brand new season of Whiskey and Widgets. I'm your host, Chris, and with me, the one with the most pizzazz, James.
That's right. I'm your host, James, as well. And thank you for joining us on our Whiskey and Widgets journey. For this year, we are going to explore topics that matter and widgets we're passionate about all over a cocktail. So I'm excited to talk to you today, Chris, because there's been some just really fun news, and frankly, yes. I've got a fun drink as well, so it's going to be interesting this week.
I think so as well. Just a quick stat. I know this is our second episode of the season, and we're kind of focused on quality podcasts moving forward, and you know, there's going to be times where we may not have an episode on a weekly basis. However, our goal is to make it as fun and bringing you all with our journey. As we discussed last time, James and I started this podcast as a way to disconnect from a lot of things. We both have busy lives. We have personal lives. And so here is kind of like one of those happy hour. So since we're all far apart from each other, we can't really go to a happy hour location. So we do this and kind of enjoy each other's presence and talk about just anything. And so we're kind of back into that, giving you really good content. And then we're going to go through different whiskeys. You know, it's really sticking with our name, right? Like Whiskey and Widgets. And so kind of really going back into that. So I'm excited about that. You know, we have Instagram at the moment, seems to be the most interactions we got. So we're going to focus on that and continue to grow that presence. So Whiskey and Widgets on Instagram. We do have an email. If you want to email us, it's perfectly fine as well. It's whiskeyandwidgets@gmail.com. So without further ado, James, what are you trying this week, man? And then we're going to go off by the book, by the way, that we got. So that actually was helpful.
I'm breaking the mold because I was fascinated by something. And so we're going to try to stick to whiskey most of the time. But this week, I got a plethora of weird ingredients that I'm going to be putting together. And I'm doing it in a gin cocktail. So nice. This week, I've got some gin here that I'm going to be using that is going to be a botanist gin. And so I'm just going to quickly assemble a cocktail. I'm going to move my mic out of the way while I'm doing it, but I'll quickly assemble. So I'll let you know what I'm building here. It's going to be gin, vanilla liqueur, a yuzu extract as my citrus instead of going with like a lemon, which is what you typically do. And then I'm doing a little bit of citrus or a little bit of simple, topping it with a grape seltzer. And, you know, obviously I'm going to be that ridiculous person that's going to use an alcoholic grape seltzer, because why not? And then a little bit of orange bitters. So this is effectively like a fruit cocktail, taking a lot of different spaces on the citrus note. So we'll see how it goes.
I'm excited. What did you say you were using for your whiskey? What was it called?
So I'm cheating. It's a gin that I'm doing this week instead of a whiskey.
Oh, gin. I'm sorry. Gin.
The mix with gin, and if it works the way I think it will, then I've got a rye that I'll try the same format in, because it's fun to trade it up. But we're going to start with the gin and see how yuzu plays with my vanilla, grapefruit, and orange flavors.
Hey, you know what? With this podcast, we're all about the different journeys, so we're going to try it out. Liquor is liquor.
Yeah.
Geez.
What is that from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Yeah, that's right. Is that really from
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? That's a kid's show. That's a kid's show right there.
The original one?
Yeah, the original one.
The original one. Okay, that's what I thought. Because that's like the modern one, probably not so much. But
so I'm going to I'm going to go ahead and mute on my side while I shake this up. And then while I'm doing so, Chris, go ahead and share. What are you doing today?
I'll share. I'll certainly share. So I am, trying different whiskeys. So I am I'm doing a Abasolo El Whisky de México. So it's 100% ancestral corn. So I'm not really sure what that means, but this is they're located in Mexico. It's made by Bodega Abasolo Distillery. So I am excited. I'm going to pour this on my glass here. And we're going to talk a little bit about the color, right? So in the last episode, so if you're just coming into this episode, if you listen to last episode for this season, season three, we talk about the observing the color, right? So that's the first thing. So I'm observing the color. So that looks very yellow to me. So this would probably fall under pale straw in terms of color. So I'm going to mark that as pale straw. I'm going to X it out here. And it talks about viscosity. So, you know, I don't know. It's pretty light. It looks pretty good. So I'll have to mark the, you know, how thick it is. It's not that thick, actually. So we'll have to check it out. So I've never heard of this whiskey before. And I am excited to try it. It smells really strong, so I'm a little... I'm actually kind of preparing my mouth already just based on the smell. Because step two from my last week's episode is the nose. And the nose, you have kind of to identify, okay, is it going to be, a strong smell? Does it burn your nose? Kind of things like that. So we'll see. Right now, smells like grainy. Smells, yeah, grain and wood. I don't know. We'll see. Ooh.
Chris, your whiskey looks delightful.
Ooh. Yeah.
What do you taste?
That thing's strong, yo. It's spicy. So this would fall under grain and spicy in terms of nose. So
right.
And it's definitely corn. I mean, you can certainly taste the corn and smell the corn. So yeah, this is probably going to be grain here, spicy, definitely not sweet, and it's corn.
So
that's both Chris, nose and the taste.
Let's talk about the taste of corn inside of a whiskey. So a lot of times, if you are newer to tasting whiskeys, which was definitely like a big thing for Chris and I to explore when we first started this podcast, was this understanding of like, how do you taste the mash bill of what the whiskey was made out of?
Yeah.
So when you identify corn in the flavor profile, what is that like for you, or how do you identify that?
That's a fantastic question, because it's also based on your experience, right? So me growing up in the Pacific Northwest, there's a little outside of the city, there's a lot of farm area where I'm at. And so so I kind of have that, definition of what a smell sounds like. So to me, it smells and tastes like if I'm swimming in a sandbox of corn. So if you've ever been into a pumpkin patch and you swim into this sandbox of corn, that's what it smells like to me. And in terms of taste, it's like eating raw corn or dried up corn. That's what it tastes like to me. So again, that's my experience. If you've had this before, I'd be curious of what your thoughts are on this. I'll be taking a photo of this too, and we'll post it. I'll post it on Instagram so you just see what I have. But I don't think this would be a drink that I'm actually going to try to finish. I'll probably leave a shot there, but it's actually quite strong.
Make it into a cocktail.
I may make it into a cocktail. I have to take a look at, you know, what the nose and the taste, you know, what can I put this on?
We have a lot of international listeners. So I would love if you are not from the United States to hear some feedback from anybody listening on what you view or how you view the corn flavor profile, because sweet corn is not necessarily as prevalent internationally as it is in the United States. And so like the assumption of what you identify with corn flavors is sometimes a little bit different. And I think that's fascinating. For myself, when I'm looking at a whiskey and I'm tasting those base pieces, I think about what's the base taste that I get out of the whiskey. And if I'm identifying it to be sweeter, oftentimes just that alone makes me assume that it's a corn mash bill. And that's not necessarily fair to the whiskey because it might not be the case, but that's often something that leads me in that direction. It's weird how much the language I want to use when describing the flavors in that regard either go towards abstract concepts like Chris, have you ever heard somebody say that something tastes like sunshine, right? Like, what does sunshine taste like? Well, what you're actually doing is you're thinking of like childhood memories of like the sight of sunshine, and you're smelling it in your memory, and like that's what you're associating as the taste of sunshine. Yeah. But like you do that, right? So actually, like oftentimes for me, if I say something tastes like sunshine, I'm thinking, well, it kind of tastes like that stuffy atmosphere of like dust and light coming through the window in that particular home I lived in, right? Like that's not actually sunshine, but like, hey, that's how you can create those weird associations. So to anyone listening, don't overly judge somebody when they say something weird like that about what it tastes like. But to help kind of build that flavor profile, to me, in point, other than corn being sweet, I find that corn has a very earthy and sometimes almost grassy flavor to it. That earthy, unlike a tea, earthy in the space of like something that's just a little bit brighter. And how else you describe that? I mean, we'll learn language over time. You know, the struggle here is always how do you describe it without referencing something else?
You just reminded me the way, you know, when you mentioned about the fact that, you know, reminds you of childhood memories. Remember that? Have you watched the movie Ratatouille?
I have. And you know what? It's actually a pretty dang good movie.
It is. It is really good. And, you know, I like the fact that, you know, when you mentioned describe like, hey, when just because someone says it tastes like this, you shouldn't minimize their description, because it is when you're tasting something, the first thing that comes to my mind anytime I go to a restaurant or I eat something that's so good, or it actually takes me back in time. I time travel, and the last time I tasted something very similar and it was good, and so that's what it relates to me. And I think I'm pretty sure, James, you agree with me on this one. And I'm sure a lot of people do, especially if you enjoy and savor the taste and the flavor and the complexity of food. It just takes you back, and all the comfort food you've eaten throughout your life. You know, we're all, as children growing up, it's all about that comfort. And as long as anything brings you back to those good times, you know, can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with that. So, James, with what you're drinking... I want to know the palate and finish. So I'll give you a quick share of what I'm dealing with right now with this Abasolo. In the mouth, it's prickly. Like, it hits you so fast. The nasal, in terms of nasal, it's kind of, it's prickly as well, or maybe more warming. So it's warming and prickly. It's around there. And the finish is a little bit long. It just sits in my mouth a little bit too long. So... yours looks good, man. Yours looks more really refreshing.
So I made two because I'm going to give one to my wife. And I wanted to, like I said, I'm experimenting with flavors. And this week, what I did is I shifted the profile of how much vanilla I put in them. And then I wanted to sample them before I added the grapefruit, see how much it would transition. Yuzu is a really interesting citrus flavor. Other than telling you to go try it, I would highly encourage it. In the same way that anyone listening, if you've never had yuzu, you can't, other than saying they're both citrus, it's hard to describe the difference between orange, grapefruit, lemon, lime. Yuzu mm-hmm. is also a unique flavor profile that is also citrus. It's fascinating. It is its own flavor. And I wanted to see what we could do to play around with that. So I'm going to start making a bunch of yuzu whiskey cocktails, but I wanted to start with something, a liquor that was a little bit more neutral so I could see what you could do with it.
Yeah.
And it pairs beautifully with vanilla, which makes me excited to try it with like a nice kind of vanilla forward rye or even moving into some cognacs.
Mm.
It has like a subtlety to it. You know how when you eat an orange and you like put it in, you like bite into it and you get some of the pith flavor?
Yes.
It has like a little bit of that going on.
Oh.
Underneath
at the first taste?
When you drink it, it's like that. It's like the flavor develops into that. And that's pretty interesting.
Mm.
So then what I'm doing is I am capping it with a hard seltzer that I got from Kirkland, which is a grapefruit seltzer, and further changing my citrus profile.
Nice. You're mixing it with a drink. You're not like chasing it.
Yeah, so in the same way when you're talking about like a gin Ricky or similar cocktails you might take like a Collins and adjust it, I was going to do a seltzer to top it just to see how it compares and what that does to the drink.
Oh, very cool.
I didn't happen to have any more flavored citrus seltzers that weren't alcoholic, so I'm using the hard seltzer from Kirkland.
Hard seltzer. Those Kirklands, man, they're pretty good. They taste just about the same as every other ones.
I will say this, not an endorsement, not an ad, and not sponsored, but for the most part, I agreed with you that hard seltzers were all like the same, White Claw, High Noon, Kirkland, it's all like the same stuff. I had Press not that long ago, right over Christmas, I had a seltzer called Press. It is so much better than every other seltzer I've ever had that it's kind of offensive how much better it is.
Wait, so you said better. So seltzer, so what does seltzer taste? To me, it tastes, okay, to me, seltzer tastes like just water with flavor and a little bit of bubbly thing. You get a little bit of alcohol too, but they all taste the same to me. So you're saying that this is more full and it doesn't taste like watered beer.
Sure. So most seltzers take a neutral spirit to add the alcohol. When we're talking alcoholic seltzers, they take a neutral spirit. It is a seltzer water that they add the neutral spirit to. And mm-hmm. the flavoring that's in there is typically going to be like your oils, your extracts, the aromatics of whatever they're trying to give you in that beverage. And it's pretty good. It's reasonable. It's, you know, they're very light. And so that makes it really easy to drink. Mm-hmm. One of the downsides to drinking beer for a lot of people is it's heavy. It can be a lot of calories. And even outside of like caloric intake, it just can make you feel a little bit full.
Yeah.
What I've noticed is most of them, the flavor profiles on them just not complex enough or not interesting enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Press just does a fantastic job. Most of the flavors from Press are, they have multiple different flavors that they're playing with. So it's always like a combination of like two flavors in the drink.
Okay.
So like apple cinnamon as opposed to just being apple flavored.
Interesting. Press, Press.
Yep.
It's a brand.
Just Press, Press.
Oh, interesting. I haven't seen that around and I'll have to check it out. If you say it's that good,
I may
give it a shot.
I mean, it's still a seltzer, right? So like it doesn't like change the world, but it was pretty impressive overall. Normally I think Kirkland brand stuff is pretty reasonable. In this case, it doesn't even compare to a press. Now, back to the cocktail that I made today. For anybody that wants to follow along and try it at your at home, you can pick up a bottle of yuzu extract, which you can use similar to another citrus in any cocktail base that you would have that has citrus in it. And then you just play around with it, which is what I'm doing here this week and probably for the next couple of weeks. I'll be shifting to so whiskey as my base spirit.
For those that are just listening in, it's yuzu. James pulled up the bottle and shared it. So we're also on YouTube, by the way. So this podcast will be on YouTube. And it's yuzu spelled as Y-U-Z-U. So it's like Japanese, I'm pretty sure. Is that right? It's a Japanese word?
I believe you are correct. It is, and even on the bottle it says it's a highly aromatic citrus Junos from Japan. It's a rare fruit that's been fostered in authentic Japanese cooking and nowadays utilized all over the world. And that's according to the bottle of the random brand yuzu that I decided to buy.
Nice. Hey, I got a question for you. So, and just sticking with the subject of Japan, do you ever follow a YouTuber, PewDiePie?
I don't follow PewDiePie, but I do stumble You've across heard of him. His stuff every once in a while. I mean, he was
So you're saying that you've come across his stuff from time to time, and I think
I've definitely seen PewDiePie's stuff from time to time. I don't follow his content because he tends to do a lot of content that is I'll just be blunt. I find it annoying.
Yes. Yeah. I think his early days, it was pretty annoying. So if PewDiePie happens to listen to this one, I have changed my views on him a little bit. So I saw his content recently, and it kind of went on my YouTube feed. And apparently he moved to Japan. And lives there now as a full-time lives there. And so his content has changed. And I was like, I was just curious, what's his content looks like? He doesn't play any games or anything like that. He just does video blogs on living in Japan and his experience living in Japan and learning the culture and learning the language. So he's learning to speak Japanese. So I thought it was fascinating because that's something that I wish I would have done. You know, like I always enjoy the Japanese culture in general, and being able to like, this guy's doing it and it's pretty cool and he's showing the cool side of Japan. So I thought it was pretty fascinating. You know, talking about yuzu and Japan in general.
There are a few YouTubers that I follow that do things where they've gone to Japan, they either are being an expat that's living there long term or has lived there for a long time. And there's some pretty interesting content overall that way. I didn't realize that PewDiePie did. I mean, it's been a little while since I've looked at his content.
Same.
Might be worth taking a look at again.
Yeah, and he was just sharing his life in Japan and moving there. I thought it was fascinating, but with that, I do want to put out some quick stats of this, the life of whiskey in widgets throughout the years. And I will say, which is very fascinating to me, so our last episode of the year was talking about AI, right? And AI has been a crazy topic in our industry. You know, James and I are in IT, right? In the IT space, and just seeing that continue to evolve, and it's almost like every episode we have to talk about that because it touches in different areas. And so, a few stats in our podcast. So, one of our last episodes of season two last year was talking about artificial intelligence and how AI is taking over everything, which is true. And that's actually one of our biggest episodes so far. So I want to say thank you for all of our listeners out there that's been listening to that podcast. And you know, we've gained a lot of new subscribers as well, which is amazing. Thank you so much. And even the last episode of this season, season three, the first episode, The Start of a Journey, that's the title. So if you haven't listened to that one, you can listen it to, you know, find us on Spotify or whatever. And that has really grown so much. James, I'm talking about like 400% more like listeners. So it is. And so I feel like, okay, are we growing up a little bit? You know, I'm like, I feel so good. Not only we have video, but the last one of the last episodes that, you know, with so much growth. And then the last episode being it massive. So thank you so much. We do appreciate it.
For anyone listening who doesn't follow on the YouTube side, since that's a new thing for us, I just took a photo of my drink that I'll throw on our Instagram so you can take a look at what that looks like visually. But absolutely, like, I'm just going to say cheers to everyone listening and thank you for joining us on the journey. We do this because it's fun and there's things to explore in life. So it's a fun journey. And speaking of journeys, how do you feel about Midjourney, Chris?
Yes, I love Midjourney. So if anybody doesn't know, so in previous episodes, we've spoken about DALL-E. And so one of our co-hosts, Brad, unable to make it to this episode, had brought up DALL-E several times, and it was fascinating, right? But, you know, I got introduced to this thing called Midjourney. And I thought it was amazing. So let me kind of share. Unfortunately, if you're listening to this podcast, you won't be able to see this, right? But I want to share a few images that I've done. And I thought it was fascinating. So I'm going to pull up here. So if you're listening and you want to see what we're showing here, you know, find our YouTube channel and be more than happy. So I'm going to share my screen here really quick. And
maybe what we should do is post a couple of the images on our Instagram as well.
I will definitely do that. I will definitely do that. So James, you're seeing this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So cool. So I'm sharing this on in here as well. So If you're watching YouTube, this is pretty cool.
Did they give Vader cat ears?
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, right? So Midjourney, let me step back for a little bit of how you can sign up for Midjourney. So Midjourney is free. And you just have to sign up. The only thing you need is Discord. You need a Discord account. So you can only interact with the Midjourney bot via Discord. And that's it. And that's it. So you go to Midjourney, go to the website. It all links to your Discord account. And then, you know, you interact with it with the slash imagine. And then it'll prompt like, hey, tell me exactly what you want.
So, all right, let me guess the prompt. And then you can say what generated this prompt. I'm going to guess that this was Batman meets Darth Vader in a suit on a couch.
Close.
Okay.
Close. So my prompt was Darth Vader in a business suit, sitting on a couch, contemplating about life.
All right.
But instead, have cat ears.
Got it. So you asked for the cat ears. That's why the cat ears are there.
Yes.
That's awesome. And
this is what spit out. And I thought it was so amazing. Now, it's not perfect. Okay. So if you pay attention to the closer details, you'll see some of the rendering issues. But if you look at it as a whole, it's amazing. It looks damn real, right? So if you look at his fingers, it's kind of weird, right? It's more like skeleton, but he has extra fingers, I think. There's plenty of extra fingers. So rendering in the hands is a little different, but it's so amazing. This is like, this is unique, right? So it's spitting out images that are unique to your description. And you can ask about it, like if you want 4K, do you want it 8K, you want 3D rendering, or do you want a painting, right? So another one that I want to show you, let me stop sharing here, and I'm going to show you this one because I thought this was amazing. So let me share my
screen. We'll have to do the game again. I'll guess what the prompt was for this next one.
Yeah. Okay, so this one right here.
This is great.
I'm sharing this. Unfortunately, if you're listening, yeah, please check out the YouTube channel, and we'll post this too on our Instagram, and you can see it. So here's one, James. Let me know your.
So this is going to be Darth Vader in a Van Gogh painting. You may have also referenced Darth Vader stylistically. There's a few other artists I could see you referencing there. And I would say in a cafe on a date with a man.
Very close. The way, well, I don't know if it's very close. You're 50% there. You got a few styles, right? Van Gogh painting, given, right?
Yep.
You saw Darth Vader given at a, on a date. So the way I actually prompted this and said, hey, take Darth Vader in Obi-Wan Kenobi sitting at a diner's table.
Obi-Wan, I can see that.
Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then
all right,
at a diner's table, reminiscing about their friendship in a Van Gogh painting. And so this is what it spit out. So if you look at it from a original perspective, it is original. There's no painting like this in the world. So I tried to Google this image, like image Google, right? It is unique. So what I could do with this is print it out and put in a canvas painting, which you can, there's a lot of services out there, you can do that. And it could be my background. It could be right behind me as a painting of this whole thing.
This is fantastic. I love everything about this particular creation.
It is amazing. Now, we're going to do one more image. Actually, maybe a couple more images. This one we talked about.
Before we move on, I got to say, I didn't think Obi-Wan when I was looking at this. But knowing it's Obi-Wan, yeah, this is great. This is choice. I don't know
it
why.
It is, right?
I just didn't think about like that scenario of them sitting together like that. But I'm like, you know what? If I had taken a second longer to think about it, I can see it. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. And they look like they're sitting having a conversation about just their old friendships, right? Like I've always imagined what that would look like. If them just sitting having good meal at a diner's table. Yeah. So I wrote this up. So that was that. And so, okay, I want to try something else, you know, and talking about Japan, I love samurais, right? Like samurai in general, the history of samurai and their intricate armor and the things they wear. I love it. And the sharpness of the sword, all that. So I'm going to stop the share and I'm going to pull up one of them. Okay, one of them. Because I was so fascinated about this. I'm going to pull it up. Here you go, James. This one, we don't have to guess the prompt, but it's pretty straightforward why I did this. But here it is. You see it? Hopefully it's
Yeah. Coming. That's fun. That's super, super fun.
It's super fascinating. And all this was like, hey, I want you to take Darth Vader as a samurai with his lightsaber sword in a battlefield. And so the background sort of like, hey, fire and maybe things are burning behind him. But
the way it like remelded his helmet.
To like
change the shape of it.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What is going on his back with the, I'm guessing that's his lightsaber, or supposed to be his lightsaber.
It's supposed to be his lightsaber. Yeah, it's supposed to be a lightsaber with his lightsaber sword, right? What do you call them? Katana swords?
Sure. I'm guessing it's showing, it probably modeled this image after a samurai that had like a sword, or like, you know, imagery where like you have like a bow or something else, even like a staff on its back, and it put the lightsaber there. So it's a bit weird.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's still a really cool image.
The
like effect details that are used to really make the image like pop are great. It's got like really good mask ability.
It is. It's so amazing. So here's another one. It's a little bit more clearer, less of mistakes than the other one. So you see, his armors are amazing. Amazing with a cape. And you see his sword is coming behind him as if he's like about to wipe it between his arms, as if he was going to maybe wipe off the blood or something.
Wow. You should try another prompt that's like the same, but like try to specify a samurai stance and see what it does.
Yeah, I could certainly do that. So here's another one. Here's the last one I did for samurai. And oh man, it's so beautiful. But imagine, print this out. I can print this out and I can have different painting every day. And so this one's a little bit more detailed because you can also, James, in Midjourney, you can say you can also have an additional prompt called ultra realistic or hyper realistic or whatever. And so this is one of the options. So this one is a little bit more like, hey, without the goggles, and you can see his eyes through and seeing him a little bit more menacing. And, you know, and you could see the lightsaber in the back for sure, as if it's behind him.
I'm part of a Discord server that uses Midjourney a ton, and it's just a group of people who throw a lot of weird prompts at it to see what we come up with. And frankly, most of them are kind of horrific, like horrifying prompts. So they come up with really horrifying results. But the thing is, this, in its very nature, creates an interesting world where people without artistic ability can see an idea realized and then enjoy what's then represented. And quite rapidly. And I think that's amazing. I think it's fantastic. I had a small get together at my house in the last couple of weeks where we were up until like 3 a.m. over the weekend talking about the impact of something like this on our society and like the needs required by society to be able to keep up with the fact that technology is changing so much in this regard.
Yes, it certainly is. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing why I got into this. Okay, a little bit of story and background. And so my wife was setting up my office, right? My office was crap. And she's like, hey, for Christmas and your birthday, my birthday is close to Christmas. And she's like, hey, we're going to set up your office. And so, and she was like, think about some paintings. And so in my mind, I am not a painter, but I am I have some good imaginations that I would love to see in a painting. And I can't do that, right? I can picture it. I know what it should look like, but I can never paint it, right? And if I Google it, I can never find it. Do I have to hire an artist? I don't know, to paint what's in my mind. And so this alone made me put what's in my mind, the description, the best description I can have, and have an AI actually paint it for me, essentially, not paint it, you know, or render it, essentially. And it was like,
let me guess the prompt on this one.
Changer. Yeah, this one's another cool one. Yes.
All right. This one is going to be, it's a humanoid. I don't know. Some sort of like, maybe it's an alien, maybe it's a human, maybe it's like evolution. I'm not sure where you went with that, but let's go ahead and say alien, mind explosion, galaxy. And how would you have phrased a prompt for this? So like, I'm going to say, you gave him a prompt that was like an alien controlling the galaxy with his mind.
That's actually if you were to prompt it like that, I'm pretty sure it's going to give you a very similar image. So the way I prompted for this one is, I said, I need a sentient small alien, a small sentient alien. I didn't say human being, alien, that has the universe in his hands, among or surrounded by other universes around him, and also add a portal to a multiverse dimension. And that's what
I love it. What you know what we should do, Chris, is you should take what I think the prompt is and then feed that back in to see what that then creates.
That so
then
would we can be post cool.
and show the comparison of like, this was your prompt, this is what James thought the prompt was, this is what the AI did with James's prompt.
That would be cool. So on the next episode, we should make that as a segment because, you know, we're going to have fun with this thing. You know, I've done several. What Midjourney can do as well is that if you take an existing image, right, like a picture or something like that, you can ask the Midjourney bot to reference that image and then add additional description. Like, for example, I took an image of my son. He's wearing night vision goggles. And I said, hey, you know, take this image and said, make him into a superhero in a, I think it's like cyberpunk superhero in a post-apocalyptic world in a background of a rundown city. And it gave an amazing super 3D detail because I asked it to be a 3D render and all that stuff. I'll have to show that on the next episode, but it does take existing image and make that image cooler. And then you can also blend images too, which, by the way, again, that's me personal use. But one of the things that we did this past week, and I got to share this with James and the listeners, is that we were trying to redesign our living room because it's like, hey, we want to make this flowy and all that stuff. And our living room is kind of like a mess and like, I don't want to sit there. It's not comfortable. So I took a picture, a photo of my living room. And then I put it on Midjourney and I said, hey, can you make this look more modern, more feng shui, and all of these additional things? And it gave me an idea of what that room should look like. And guess what? That's what we end up doing. It's so beautiful.
I love that.
What it can do, man.
There is a YouTuber that I stumbled across that does feng shui. Content talks about how do you do this, what does it look like, and like teaches people about it. I loved the little bit of content that I've seen on him so far. I don't know who he is, otherwise I'd share. He always ends the video with, so now you know, and he's like this really energetic guy that is teaching you how to make your spaces better. It's an interesting thing because decorating a space isn't something we're all naturally great at, but a lot of the feng shui stuff helps with that. So that's neat. And I'm glad you included that in your prompt. Yeah. That would also be fun, is to like see what it thought you should do with that kind of outline or like photo or whatever you gave it.
Exactly, man. But you know, like if you were to take, now I'm thinking about like, what can I do with this in my kitchen? Cause our kitchen is another thing. Right. And instead of me like hiring, I mean, I feel bad, right? Like I could be hiring an internal interior designer or architect, whatever. But like, I needed something really quick this weekend. It's like, I want to redo my living room. Imagine if in the past, especially if you're not a creative person, but you want to make it useful, you know, useful, functional living room, you'd have to hire somebody that can actually do that for you. Because especially me, I just can't, right? But for a Midjourney to do that for me, and every time you prompt, it gives you four different versions, right? Like this, 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 this. And then after it prompts you, it gives you like options to like, hey, you want to make it more detail, or do you want new features or remastered of that, whichever ones you choose. And it's so amazing, man. We are able to do that in like 5 minutes.
It's a fun world, guy. Like, seriously, Chris, I love where our society is able to go with technology and some of the neat things within AI. And there's some really fundamental hurdles we have to overcome as it relates to ownership of things or intellectual property or ideas or creation or copywriting. And a lot of our institutions related to that don't know what to do with AI and how we handle that. And that's cool. That's interesting. But like, if we just focus on what can we do with it, can you imagine a world where like it just becomes standard that you just talk to the computer and be like, hey, show me what this could be. And then there you go. Now you ask for it and you're like, cool, great, 3D print that. And you ask Alexa to 3D print it for you, and the job gets sent to your 3D printer. And now you have this like widget that you'd asked for, and AI just built it for you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude, that's a cool connect on the dots, crazy. Man.
It is crazy. So, you know, someone had asked me this past couple of days, you know, I did this in the weekend, and my wife, she went to school for, you know, design, right? Architect. And I asked her, which is crazy, because, you know, that's not what she does now, right? you don't ever do what you went to school for. But anyway, different topic.
If a child could successfully predict what they wanted their life to become, that's a different world, my friend. Like,
I know.
Think about the proposition of how we ask people, hey, you haven't fully formed your brain yet, but what would you like to do for the rest of your life?
Yeah, expect them to have the answer. But, you know, to go back to this design stuff, you know, like, and asked her, like, what do you think, how is this going to affect the industry, right? And is it going to take stuff? And, she, you know, and we had a good conversation. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're an interior designer or architect, you can use this AI tool to put your stuff into perspective without all the work that you have to do to writing it up. So you're much more creative. You know, you have that power to be more creative. You have the vision. And I don't see why you can't use this and still be able to use it as part of your work, because it is coming from your mind. You're putting it into a description that the AI can generate for you. So Chris, you're just faster at that point.
You and I have talked about this a little bit in the past, but I don't know if you remember this or not, but do you know where the root of the word technology comes from?
I think you've mentioned it to me in a few episodes. But for those, if you're listening for the first time, James, where does the word tech come from?
So technology is a really interesting thing, because it actually originally came from techno, which is this idea. You know what? I'm going to simplify. I could ramble on this for too long. The root of technology comes back to this idea of an artistic expression and how you're able to actually make something happen, right? Mm-hmm. So technology was actually like all about that technique and how you were able to create or produce something. So if you think like Renaissance era, somebody is creating a thing and they have to create a tool or a die in order to produce the end result they wanted to create. Mm-hmm. And so that tool or that die, that thing they created, was the technology to create the end result. And that's where technology found its roots. And that is exactly the point of when we're talking about, typically when we think technology today, we're thinking computers and electronics. But at the end of the day, it's what's the tool we're using as humans? We put something in there and we produce a result. And that's where technology starts. It's a fascinating space and frankly devastating. There's so much like opposition to the idea of evolving our approaches to this with this thing called AI.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think you can benefit out of some of the products and how useful it is. And everyone's talking about ChatGPT and all this stuff. But I will tell you, though, I'm going to probably buy a monitor and cycle through these images that the AI built for me based on my imagination, based on my description. So these are going to be unique arts that not necessarily generated by me, generated by an AI. However, the idea came from me. The idea came from my description in my mind and all this stuff. So keep an eye on it. I'm going to buy a monitor. I'm going to buy somewhere right here, right here. And I'm going to put it right there.
That's
so you can see it. Because, that direction.
Because hand motions in video pointing at what I see on my screen helps you understand what I'm looking at. Yeah, the jokes. Yes,
for our listeners.
it's fun times. And like for anybody that's super interested, if I touched on something where you're like, oh, hey, what's the history of that? Or what was James referencing? Not everyone's going to be interested in like etymology of words. But techne and logia. I'm drinking. Don't judge me.
Loggia. Loggia.
That's where you get that base. And like, here's the thing. The root of that word, art and craft, are they're like together, right? Like how you're making it. And then they're combining it with this idea of like thought or ideas or concepts or communication, right?
Yep.
And you can, like, I encourage anyone listening, look it up, fact check me on it, because I probably screwed up the pronunciation of one of these. But like, you combine that, and it's fascinating because at the end of the day, the tool doesn't get you there. And the thought doesn't get you there. You need the tools to express out what you're thinking of. And I love that that's where, like, someone like Chris is able to come up with an amazing idea and then be like, hey, make this into a reality. And then maybe that's like a starting point. When you look at artists creating things for companies, oftentimes, what are they doing? They create a bunch of like initial sketches. So you could have somebody be like, hey, AI, here's 15 ideas. And then we could be like, hey, artist, let's refine this further.
Yes. Yes. It's if you're in that industry, it's a little scary, right? Because it is coming in your space, right? But you have to find ways to adapt at that point. And, it's just, I think it's just going to progress, continue to progress in the future. But again, I just love it, right? So that's kind of like the widget for me for the week, if we're to bring a widget for this episode, which...
For sure.
It's Midjourney. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's free, by the way. You can have a paid version.
It's free, yeah. And it integrates with Discord, which is also free, and makes it readily obtainable for a non-IT nerd, right? If you're listening to this and you're like, this is cool, yes, and I like technology, but you don't view yourself as like supreme nerd, that's okay. This is approachable, right? You can start by setting up a small Discord server, which is free, and the internet will help you with that. And then as soon as you have it, you could, on your Discord server now, you can set up Midjourney, which there's plenty of options to help you with that. And it's pretty straightforward. I'll just encourage anyone listening. If you try to do this and you're like, hey, once again, Widget said this was easy, James said this was easy, and I'm stuck, send us an email. And I will answer your email. I'll reply to you and I'll help you. Right. But like,
it's a fun thing.
Less than 10 minutes. I'm going to put a time limit on that. If you're messaging me in 2029 asking for help because of this podcast, you missed that boat. So it's 2023 right now. So within this year, if you email our contact info, I'll make sure I get you some help and help you through it.
Yeah, it's less than 10 minutes, guys. And when James says you can create your own Discord server, you don't literally have to create or physically have a server, a box, right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of real effort on your end. It's, you can sign up for it for free. It spins up a server in the cloud. You don't have to worry about how all that works. And it's think about it as a chat room if you're a little old school, right?
Yeah,
that's for community. You to use, and you can control and monitor it, or moderate it if you're familiar with that term.
Now, I do want to point out too. So Midjourney is free, Discord is free. There's a paid version for Midjourney, and the cheapest one is $8 a month. And all the big difference is that you can interact with Midjourney bot as a direct message, not as a group chat message. Because if you do the free one, it means that any description or prompt you give, everybody gets to see it. If you put a photo for it to prompt or blend, everybody gets to see that, and everybody gets to see your results. So if you pay for that service, you get a direct message, you can interact with it directly, and you get like a certain amount of times where you can have the fastest render, the fastest response. So, but it's been fairly good. Just a few.
I don't know if you've looked into this at all, but how does that impact the ownership or rights to any images that are created? Does it?
I think it tells you that, by the way, when you sign up for it. It does prompt you that you do have the ownership of the image that it spits out. So That may change. I don't know. But that's a good question. That's a big topic that we've done in the past too. Who takes the ownership. But I think in this case, it's like, hey, this is yours. Do whatever you want. We're just spinning the image out for you.
I can't resist myself, but I'll just let everybody know the cocktail I made earlier tonight, I actually thought it was delightful. I can't resist myself. I'm going to go ahead and make myself a probably a rye version of this, because definitely got to dive into my rye. Maybe I'll go scotch. I'll do some monkey shoulder. I don't know. But that's my next step here. Guys, it's a fun journey. Big journey takes you there. But as we're talking about this, I think an important consideration when you're like thinking through where does AI take us and what happens to our society is, Chris, I'll say it 1,000 times. I think AI is forcing us as a society to evolve how we look at various constructs and how we approach things economically and within like jobs, etc., that we probably should have as a society looked at a long time ago, but it's forcing us to progress. And I'm excited to see where that's going to go. It's probably going to be painful. There are probably going to be problems, but it's, I think, still for the net better. So to anyone listening that's like thinking AI is the start of Terminator, Skynet, and the end of the world, sure, that's possible, but I think that's less likely than some of the other benefits that we can gain.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing to note too with this AI stuff, everybody talks about ChatGPT, and we talked about it in previous episodes too. But one thing to note that Microsoft, you know, one of the biggest software makers out there, they're putting a lot of money into this AI, and they believe in it. And I think as a society, we have to kind of come along with it and see where it goes, and we adjust. You know, we adapt. That's what human beings do well, right? We continue to adapt. So, James, your final thoughts, man, on this whole thing? It's mid-journey and the journey that we have for this new season.
So here's my thoughts. Inspired by you, Chris, and the efforts you did with Midjourney, talking about how to get some art on your wall, Pablo Picasso is credited for saying, "A good artist copies, a great artist steals." And I'm just going to go ahead and say, what is that but exactly what we're talking about, and how AI is taking inspiration from the world and making our dreams visually available.
Yes.
It might be good while it's copying. It won't be great unless it can do it on its own and make it better than the original.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you, James. Thanks for all the listeners. I think, again, thank you so much. Looking at some of the stats for the new year, you guys have been wonderful listeners, wonderful kind of sticking with us. We've had fans asking, you know, hey, where's our episodes? Where episode? You know, we're out for a while for holidays. But thank you for sticking with us. We appreciate you. We love you all. And looking forward to more episodes to come. Take care, everybody. And thank you, James.
Enjoy your cocktails this week, my friends. And we'll see you next time.